units, 3 units of setups.
Okay.
Control left, Ken.
No, it's not.
It's my favorite one.
I know, not outside. I've got my tree. I have a beautiful tree.
We got our tree up. We got it 2 nights ago. We decorated last night. The kids are just
like, I'm sure. That's like sugar. That's raw sugar.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
It's pure adrenaline for that.
In your packet, there's the CSDA seminar on how to become a good board member. And Marie and I need this, so if you're going, I need it filled out by the end of the week so you can get it sent on.
Where is it at in our packet?
I saw it. What I did with it was a different kind of thing.
I didn't see it in mine.
Oh, it's a behind the letter from Eddie.
Insurance company picked up the transport. I can hear Dave in the back saying,
okay,
tell
if you
Mary
want
I walked. Because I was giving a shit about it.
Director Guerrero, if you want to call it.
Yes, if we can call this meeting back to order.
Okay, so what prompted this presentation was that there has been a fairly common bantering about seawater intrusion in Oceano, and there was a tremendous amount of hearsay, a tremendous amount of subject to discussion. What really triggered this was there was a land use that went before the Planning Commission, and Adam Hill's member of the Planning Commission during the presentation of the land use on Sheridan Road didn't approve the project because and it was an industrial project, didn't approve it because she said that there's seawater intrusion in Oceano. And that caused a bunch of phone calls. And then our friends above the Mesa have a highlights in that project is they are citing seawater intrusion. So when I got here, I heard 27 different stories of, as we all have, as to whether there was seawater intrusion or not. And we belong to a group called the Northern Cities Management Association, which I hold a seat, and John Wallace, as our district engineer, is a participant, along with Grover, AG, in PISMO, and we basically discuss the ways that we manage our water. And in an NCMA report in 2009-2010, they made a statement that there were chemical signatures in one of our Sentry wells that could be characteristically described as seawater intrusion. Now, What originally happened, as it's been explained to me by several people that advise us, that way back when we had a group called Todd Engineering out of the Bay Area that was working with in conjunction with the county, that the county would test the wells, and then the test data would go to Todd Engineering, and they would report back to us our water quality. Supposedly, the county had been chartered with testing these wells over a period of time, but for some reason, it never got done on the schedule that it was supposed to be done. In 2009, Todd Engineering released some data that said that there was a chemical signature in one of our wells that resembled seawater intrusion. What I have on the screen now is the Wallace report that was given to this board back in October 28th of 2009, and I'm going to walk you through it. And at the time, there was not a lot of as we go through this report, you'll see that there wasn't a lot of major concern. Now, it was brought to me to my attention, and I did confirm it, that when Todd Engineering had the data, that data didn't come to Oceano first. It went to AG Grover and Pismo, and as you all know, Oceano gets treated like a second-class citizen on some things, whether it's deserved or not, I would argue. But and the data came, and one of your previous board members found out about the data and then brought it to the table in Oceano, at which time Mr. Wallace presented this report. Now, granted, this is dated in October 28, 2009, and I'm gonna walk you through it. If you have questions, please save them till the end, and then I'll go through. So we open the statement with the existing water supply, and we have groundwater available for pumping for our agreement of 900 acre feet. We have 303 acre feet at Lopez, and then we have a state water contract, which we have 750 acre feet. So our total acre feet at Oceano was allowed is 1,953. Future demand at that time was that at most we would probably need 1,419. And then existing demand is around 910, and I'm happy to say that our demand is about that demand now. So we have a water buffer of 534 acre feet. And so what you need to understand is that Oceano has its groundwater, which we pump out of the wells that I'll bring up. We also have our Lopez contract, which we get supplemental water there. And we have a state water contract, which we also get water there. We are one of the few people in the San Luis County that has water from multiple sources, and there's been multiple discussions on what we're going to do with their access, but we're not going to discuss that here. So they put out what our water supply reliability was going to be, and so GW and the groundwater and Lopez, we have full allocations, as you know. State water cycles with the amount of water that they release. Sometimes we get 44%. At one time, the lowest we got was 5%. Right now, we just came off a downtime where they shut us off for 3 weeks while they're doing maintenance. So the availability of that state water fluctuates due to technical conditions, and then obviously if the state's providing water and they can't meet it, then they scale everybody up and back. But for us, it's not a crucial factor because we have other sources. And he goes through the things that could affect us, the drought cycles, environmental factors, the Bay and Delta smelt. Up there, we get the water off the river, and so if there's an issue with the environmental aspect of it, they can cut us back. And then we have the reliability, even though there's been a time that's been 5 and time that's 0, we've been averaging 40%. So our current adjusted supply is 1503, future demand is 1419, so we have a buffer of 84 acre feet. And I believe this is one of the things that we made the decision previously, that your previous board did, to contract with the Roy Grandy to sell them 100 acre feet on a temporary basis. Now, remember, this is a my report. This is what Wallace provided us back in 2009. So water supply recommendations from the draft WMP, state water drought buffer, continued conservation efforts, reduce for unaccounted for water, and future water recycling efforts. And I'm happy to say that's going on now. If you Zone 3 and Zone 3 Tech, we discuss all these things on a regular basis. We discuss them also at the NCMA on a regular basis. So here we have our graph of the 2008 water use summary. State water was 377, Lopez was 278, groundwater was 247, and the breakdown surface water 73%, groundwater is 27%. The numbers now, our groundwater that we pump is less than 30 acre feet a year. So we no longer, because of our supplemental water and because we're in a surplus at Lopez, you can't get cheaper water than that, so we're using that water. Plus, we're being great neighbors and protecting the groundwater pump. And here's a breakdown of what the costs were in 2009, and they're fairly close. Our water bill right now, where it says $814.5, I believe it's like around $845 to $860 was our current bill. So we've had marginal increases then. And it's by far and away the largest bill that we have to write, and you've had all sorts of consternation about those bills in the past, but I'm happy to say they're all current, and we got the money to pay for the new bills coming in. So, so where do we get our water from? So we know we get it from Lopez. We know we get it from the state water pipeline. We work in conjunction with the county in Zone 3, and we control our allocations of those. And Oceana was very fortunate that they have what we call production wells and monitoring wells. Wells number 7 and 8 are just down the road here at the fire station. It's all roped off. This is where we also had the fire training. We very seldom do we use well 7. We use well 8 on occasion, and that's powered by a very large what is it, Dan? Electric motor that we do, and we document every time we pump groundwater on a daily basis. We know exactly what we pump, and we transfer it on a monthly basis to the NCMA. And now they're asking for daily as we improve our groundwater management. So it talks about the depth of the well. Well 7 is 162. Well number 8 is 525. And here we see a former retired member, and he's across the street in the depot. And in the depot, we have four monitoring wells, which are called green, blue, yellow, and silver, of which green, blue, and yellow are active today. The silver well had a corruption in the casing, and so it filled with our natural soil around here, which is sand and rock. And so we don't test the silver well, and we haven't for a while. But to supplement that testing, we use our well 8, which we very seldom use, but we use that for testing, and that's done on a quarterly basis. Okay, so here's a picture on the inside of the well. And you can see they pull it up, and this is some residual rainwater. But you can see how the wells are clearly capped, and they're identified by their colors. And a Fugro comes out, and they test these wells every quarter. And we have all, and then I'll get to that later, but we've also taken some other steps. There again are the depths of the well. And then this is a location of the Century wells. And I need to point out, these are Oceano's wells, right? These are Oceano's wells. They're part of our system. They are put in place for us to monitor our water quality, and we use that. So if you look up here, we have a group at our northern border. We have one here. These are the Century wells that I just showed you on the picture. We have another well here. I can't read it on the thing. Bad context. Another one here, we have the red, blue, and green, which we just talked about, which is right across the street. And then down here, right on the beach, we have another well that there's a kiosk there, and you see our well, and that's the one that they go out and test. So we've got fairly broad coverage for our immediate area. So here's a graph of the wells that I just showed you, and it shows their depth, and this is in feet. Okay, so the ones across the street, or the one that we got the signature characteristic from, was this group right here. And you have a well that's 25 foot deep, right? And then you have a well that's is 200. This blacked out area is what they call a buffer zone or a well screen. And then here we have one of right around 50. And this well is on Pier Avenue. And it's, if you know Pier Avenue, you go to
Pier Liquor.
You have Pier Liquor, you have the state campground, and you have a sort of road traffic from all this stuff going on and off, right, from coming off the beach. So that was the well, and here is the well that when the report came out, we went and did an inspection. Okay? Now, if you notice on the picture, you see how the foliage is all brown. Because when we have rain events, that well's underwater. Okay? And you can see that it gets overgrown. There was a homeless camp here. You've got Pier Liquor over here. You've got the state park campground right there. And so that was the well that was in question. This is a picture of when they opened the well after the report came out. Now, what you see here is this is a shovel. This is the water that has filled up the well because this well is underwater quite often. Okay, and you notice this has no cap. And you notice this has a cap, but it's been moved away. Okay? Here, they're pulling up the access port to the well. And you can see that it's below grade, which is below water. And you can see the amount by the existing of the cap that on the one that they did remove, you can see all the contaminants that went down into the well. Now we go to Central Well F1203, which is another location, and you see that it's not underwater. He's pulling the top up. And there's the monitoring well, and you can see that there's earth around it, and there's the caps. They're all in place. Okay. So then the Wallace Group gave us a brief history of seawater intrusion. Now, I have read probably 7 hydrology books in the last 2 months, and everybody uses this explanation.
Right.
Okay, and I'm sure you've all seen it before. So what we have here is we have the ocean as we know it, the seabed, the seawater aquifer, of which seawater is heavier than freshwater, and we have what they call the seawater aquifer interface. It's also called the mixing zone. It's called several different things. And then we have our aquifer as we have it. We have a sentry well, like we just showed you. And then we have surface water that goes through our land, which we have a great sand area that purifies our water and pushes it in. Okay. So this is what was presented in 2009. This is the chart that they identified that 30N2 had the high fluoride concentrations, which are a signature for seawater intrusion. If you notice, when I started this presentation earlier, I said that we had data points that were collected, but they were collected rather randomly. And so if you look at this, there was some done in 1965. We were well along. There was some done in 1975, so quarterly hadn't set in. And then we go all the way to 1995, and all of a sudden we're checking. And then we went from 1995, there was no data collected until 2009, and that's where we had the high chloride concentration from that well that was below grade, and the caps were off, and it showed high chloride. So here we've had seawater, the characteristics of seawater intrusion that was published, and this was the response by the Wallace Group, who was our engineer and is still our engineer. Right. Continued groundwater monitoring required by the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin Settlement Agreement, which we're all familiar with and I'm not going to go into. Work with northern cities and other agencies to augment or decrease pumping of groundwater and to purchase state water drought buffer water. Continue to explore recycled water options in investigation of seawater intrusion barrier project. And return to the board with more detail on cost sharing alternatives, which is we had the gentleman's agreement, the NCMA came into play, and we equally share and participate in the costs that are directly related to Oceana. For example, anything that has to do with Lopez Dam or the transport of water, Director Searcy goes to the zone to the tech with me. We participate, we go through the numbers, we share the deal because Oceano's allocation is smaller, we pay less, but we pay a proportionate share. Now, when I saw this report, I thought, well, seawater intrusion is questionable, right? If you look at this report, nobody's jumping up and down saying that there's a problem. Nobody's jumping up and down and saying that this is something we should be worried about. Nobody's highlighting. Todd Engineering got fired because they brought the data in so matter-of-factly that they got fired, and we went to WSC and GEI. They became our hydrologists, and they started implementing what the NCMA started to do. So for all the people that are out there that are thinking we really didn't have seawater intrusion, if you were remembering this report, you were right. But you're also wrong. Because what happened was, next, was, and I'm doing my very best to keep this in check, what happened next was somebody thought, wait a minute, we have an opportunity here. And our board, along with the four other people that belong to the NCMA, issued a letter to Pavel Ogren saying that we had evidence of characteristics that could point to seawater intrusion, and we don't want that to ever... we don't want our state water allocations to be cut back because we have evidence of seawater intrusion. So I'm not, and I want to be really clear about this, whatever our friends and neighbors do that we don't have an agreement with, that's their problem, right? That's, if it's Santa Maria, if it's Napomo, if it's Santa Margarita, that's their problem. If we have an agreement in the NCMA, then we got to go forward with that. And that's our goal, and that's our tool to ensure all this stuff. And so what's happening is that you've got two sides. And my position as staff, my recommendation to you guys is that we already have an agreement that we accept the NCMA reports. The NCMA reports reiterate multiple times that there was, in 2009, there were characteristics issued of seawater intrusion. This board previously sent out a letter saying there were characteristics of seawater intrusion, so we don't want our state water allocations to be cut back. And so that elevates us up the pipeline. The county likes it too, because when they're doing their gross water management plan, they also include that, because that elevates us up the deal. Where I have a problem is when somebody like the planning commissioner, who was functioning on hearsay, cancels a project because she said there was seawater intrusion without the facts. What you guys have had a problem is that every time they talk about Oceano on something, somebody throws in the fact that there's seawater intrusion. And my position is you can't have it both ways. A board, an elected board, went forward and said, yes, there was, and so we are obligated, in my mind, and my recommendation is that you accept it, but you understand the facts why. Now, I don't want to get into the political football that's being kicked around. We get a black eye sometimes because of it, but we also benefit because it's fairly well documented, the DWR and the California Water Authority, that when they look at Oceano in this area, if there's a problem with their state water cutbacks, we still get our allocation. What somebody else is doing at their deal, that's their deal. We don't care. We have no jurisdiction over them. We have no deal. When I told this board directly that once I took this job that I canceled all my other business interests, and a lot of you know some of the ones I canceled, I quit, even though I'm a ratepayer in Napomo, I quit going to their meetings and that, because my focus and concern is Oceana, and I think I've lived up to that in spades. But I responded to you, your requests. I've done the fact-finding. The NCMA reports in the previous administration, if we had issues with it, that general manager should have brought it forward. Our district engineer should have brought it forward, and we should have made objections to where they're being. Now, that being said, let me tell you where we are now. We are now doing daily monitoring of our signatures, and we are creating what they call it's a tough word to say, but a penchiometric map of our water quality on all our wells. And I can't, because of attorney-client confidentiality, we just got a report that will be a subset of the report, and I can't discuss it, but the data is being collected, and we're tying that with what we're AG's pumping and what Pismo's pumping and what Grover Beach is pumping, and tying all that together so that we as Oceano and the NCMA are coming forward with a true water management plan, and we are sensitive and we'll be able to react. And one thing I'd like to point out that really kind of caught me off guard, most of you know I'm extremely proactive, and that happened where they were monitoring quarterly, and nobody thought it was important until just recently to start monitoring on a regular basis. They still continue to monitor quarterly. If we'd had another incident like that, we would be monitoring daily or monthly and confirming it. So that's the history as it was explained to me by every single consultant. I'm referencing the original Wallace report with the pictures and the data. The NCMA stuff is all we all have copies of it. Most of you are well familiar with the efforts that we have there. But as far as what our neighbors are doing, we don't have a dog in the fight. We don't care. It's their deal. Open it up to your questions, and I'll open up to the public questions.
Do you have a staff recommendation on item 10C?
My recommendation is we do not draft a letter, and we make this position that we do a, instead of a letter, we do a release that just says we had, just like the report says, we had a signature that of characteristics that point towards seawater intrusion. It was a one-time event, and we haven't seen it since, and we've increased our monitoring, but it's an Oceano issue and not anybody else's.
I would agree on that approach wholeheartedly, but I would really emphasize the increased monitoring. At that time, being the only board member, I guess, that was here for that report, one thing that The difference in the reports is the level of hysteria that is now removed from the report. Because when that report first came to the board, right, the level of on how it was presented today versus when it was presented by the paid, very well-paid engineer is night and day. And so I do appreciate you putting it into perspective and giving a little bit fairer view of that. Yes, I do remember the letter that did come out from this board. At the time we discussed this letter of ownership, it was agreed that we would all participate in the neighborly thing. But like you said, you know, we don't have a dog in the fight, and so we're not going to. But the deal was is that everybody was going to attempt to cut back, but things happened. So that is when this letter was created.
Correct.
That it was in collaboration with others. That
three other member agencies.
Well, there was one neighbor that there could not, they would not commit. But I know their largest said that they would make every attempt to pull back. I know the agricultural community definitely, you know, said that they would do everything to attempt to pull back up off the groundwater too as well. So that was kind of like where we were in this letter when this letter was created. It's actually a form letter. You'll find one from Pismo that's similar.
Well, what as I understand it, our district engineer wrote that in conjunction with the other district.
You bet. And was leader of the pack.
Right.
And I think that is where we do have a dog in the fight.
Well, that's not for discussion right now.
Right. Not this dog fight. But it needs to be discussed because it's been very, very costly to the community. And so we do need to stick to, yeah, we had a dirty, nasty well, but we've increased our testing daily. And it's a one-time thing, and we'll ensure the quality. So I agree with your approach on this.
I, too, Tom, agree with your recommendation. I think it's very astute and very succinct, and I think the district will benefit from this approach a great deal.
Director Searcy?
As do I. Being a previous board member and sitting on the district for a lot of years and being able to deal with the water issues of Oceano, this is a long time coming. I think we've always tried to be good neighbors. We were the first ones to come to the plate to come to the gentleman's agreement. We were fortunate enough, the founding fathers was fortunate enough to make a deal to what we receive as from Lopez our allotment there, and we were fortunate enough to have a board that had foresight in bringing on state water. And it was, the gentleman's agreement was that at some time in the future that we would all look for supplemental water, and so that we could exactly do this, protect our groundwater basin. Because it's we're not only serving the people of the five cities, but we're also taking some of the most richest farm agricultural probably on planet. I mean, if you go out here and look south of the creek, that dirt is as black as it gets, and they grow year round. And and to see that, if you can see what's happening in the San Joaquin Valley with where the water went bad, I mean, there's fields and fields of just white powder and nothing's growing there. So I just I think this is the best approach. We've always tried to be the good neighbor, and I think we should continue. And now that we have staff and the ability to kind of look after ourselves in our monitoring and not have to rely on reports of somebody who might have vested interest all over the field. I do agree with staff, and hopefully we'll be able to prove our issue down the road.
Okay. Public comment? Go ahead.
I forgot one other thing. Also in your board package is the NCMA draft and the synopsis, which is basically what I've described to you, and I didn't want to go into it. One thing I need to explain is when I had that chart up there that showed the standard graph of how seawater intrusion takes place and all that, the way the hydrologist explained to me is that makes it look like it's layer cake. So each level, you're going to hit that. And the reality of it is that the water is more like zebra stripes. So you're going to have high concentrations in one area, and so you don't get the you can't use layer cake thinking like they show you on the two-dimensional deal. You have to kind of step away and look at it.
Sure.
And their reason for the one testing anomaly is that we've had significant rainfall since then. By us reducing pumping, it has helped force whatever came in out to its area. And I agree. In my opinion, we should agree as well, because you can't have it both ways.
Is there any public comment, Mr. Giesel?
Oh yeah, I got a bunch.
Great.
I'll go in order I received them. That would be Liam Bennett.
Actually, I'm okay after your presentation.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay,
my family will appreciate that. Mr. Petra.
Yes, my name's Bill. I live in the Pomo. I'm a registered professional engineer, and I've been following this water issues on the Mesa for quite a few years now, and attend most of the NMMA technical group meetings, so I'm aware of what these court-appointed groups are doing. And I'd like to say that Tom said, you don't have a dog in this fight, and I think that's not quite right. This is the whole basin. The one thing the court did was establish that this is one whole basin from deep in Santa Maria all the way up here. And the nature of that basin is very deep down there, and it narrows down, thins out, and hits the ocean right around here. So you're very dependent on what happens on the Mesa. And we're dependent on the Mesa, what's going on in Santa Maria. And I think the problem, if you extend this thinking about the potential seawater intrusion, is that the NMMA group, in their technical report, has identified an area of concern, which is right over here down off the Mesa. And there has been historically a buffer, a pressure buffer, where potentiometric surface, as Tom said, is higher there, and it forces the water towards the ocean. And if that pressure reduces, the ocean pressure kind of pushes in. So you can see this kind of going in and out. And this doesn't happen like a reservoir. It's all water in the dirt, so it happens slowly. But anyway, if that pressure reduces up on the Mesa, you're going to see the effects down here. So you can monitor your wells every day. You can do all the right things, and it's still going to happen. So what you need to do is convince the county, as we keep trying to do, that this is a regional issue, and we all have to cooperate and establish ways to control the water issue all the way from the Mesa down here, and not just look at it on these little individual regional or local issues, because you'll never be able to solve the problem that way. And this idea of the pipeline from Santa Maria, there's no technical evidence in any of those reports that says that's going to help the issue. What it is going to do is essentially poison the well. If we have to fund that thing and then you get a real seawater intrusion event down here, there won't be any money left to fund a real project. So I hope you will put your dog in the fight, because it is
your problem. What is the real project, sir?
Please? Sorry,
I didn't catch what the real project was.
The project, that's you the supplemental waterline intertie project that NCSD has been promoting, and that's where we're getting some of this misinformation, because they're trying to scare people into thinking there's seawater coming in Oceano.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Petrick.
Next we have Patricia Eby.
Good evening, ma'am.
Thank you for an excellent presentation, Mr. Gieselin. I think you have a very fine manager here, and I think you did an excellent job at explaining your situation. However, I would ask you to please do not draft any letter if it's going to support seawater intrusion. We have been deluged. I live in the Woodlands section of Napomo. I lived in Black Lake for 5 years before I moved to Woodlands. I won't discuss the reasons why. They're not really relevant. But we are subjected to literature that looks like this at enormous cost, and it's the customers of NCSD that are paying for this kind of literature that is extremism at its worst. This pipeline and the water that it will bring some of the state water allocation that Santa Barbara County gets to Napomo. It flows right through Napomo before it goes to Santa Maria, and we're going to build a pipeline for $40 or $50 million to bring it back. The pipeline is the cheap part. I'm not concerned about the cost of the pipeline. The water starts at $1,550 per acre foot in 2012. It goes up. Santa Maria has increased its cost 5% per year in the last 2 years. So if it increases only 4%, we're looking at a cost of increasing the acre foot in 10 years to $2,200 per acre foot, $3,300 10 years later, and a total project cost of something over $300 million. All that money flows south out of San Luis Obispo County to Santa Barbara County. That's what you're going to encourage if you send a letter stating you had seawater intrusion. I'm serious about this. That's their only strong argument. I'm part of the Mesa Community Alliance. We're a group of citizens. We don't hold any public office. Most of us are lucky enough to be retired and can spend hours and hours and hours researching and trying to come up with numbers. But we are being sold a project that will not solve the water problem. It will not solve the water problem. I've distributed information in my community, and I had a gentleman come to me in the first week in December and say, I want to meet with you. He lives part-time here, part-time up in San Ramon. He found this lovely little desal plant in San City, which is part of Monterey County. San City got tired of waiting for Monterey County to get its political guns together to get the desal plant built. Okay, they've got one in the works, but it's in a lot of politics. San City built a plant for $12 million in 5 years. They don't need a lot of water there. It only produces 300 acre feet. But it is an incredible project. It's endorsed by the Sierra Club and others. I had this gentleman come to me and say, we want to build one of these here. Now, if all this money goes south, the money isn't going to be there to do projects like this. And we've come up with probably a dozen other good solutions. So please, people, have some consideration for the people in Napomo, people who are retired, who
Thank
have
you.
Been
Thank
living
you,
there
Mr.
for 25 years.
You've exceeded your time.
3 minutes.
I know my time is out. But we have people very much like your people, and they cannot afford another $30 a month for their water bill. And that's what's going to happen, plus their tax assessment. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Eby.
Thank you.
Next we have Carol Henson. Followed by Ed Eby.
Good Carol Henson, Luciano. I want to address this issue. It's been around for a while and kicked around. However, as this woman before me spoke, you know, I do believe that, by the way, I want to thank you very much, Tom. That's the best assessment I've ever heard of the exact chronology of the events of that event. The only thing that concerns me about that is I think this is something that we all wish would be resolved and can go away. Unfortunately, when it was let out of the gate, you know, two things have changed other than the initial letter that got by the Wallace Group that the board did approve. When that letter went out of the gate, you know, it was started a change of events, which we still are dealing with, and as I just said, we'd all like to resolve and get it put under the rug. However, I'm afraid it's going to keep coming back to visit us in different ways. And since that letter was sent, there are two things that changed the complexion of that whole water deal and the surplus water. And that's, number one, we had a lot of rain, and Governor Brown declared that there was no longer a drought. And that changed the complexion of that. And then the saltwater intrusion, you know, has been propagated, and as it says in your agenda here, it's misinformation, and it's, you know, continues to go forward, and I do believe that if the board does, I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have to take some accountability for this, because this has legs and it's going to go on forever. And Oceano, I would really love to just be able to write that letter and accept it and monitor the wells, but I'm afraid it set a chain of things and emotions that I think we all morally need to really think about, and it's a hard decision to think about that letter and what we as a board can do and about that. I'm perplexed about it myself, but I don't think it's going to go away, and it will have repercussions for years down the road. And it may cost us money in our next drought, because that would mean that one of our neighbors would be able to get state water, even though they're not a subscriber to the state water, and that would mean that we would have the inability to say sell that neighbor water, they wouldn't need it. And so we need to consider the future, not just now. So I really, with a heavy heart, say I agree with the previous people that we shouldn't write that letter. However, I wish to heck we could.
Thank you, Ms. Henson.
Thank you.
Next we have Ed Eby.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, I'm Ed Eby. I'm from Napomo. I'm also a director on the Napomo Community Services District. And the reason I came here tonight was because I had heard about some concern about misinformation. And I think a lot of that has been cleared up here, but I would just like to further make sure that you don't think that any of this misinformation came from me. I'd like to give you each a package here.
Thank you.
That I will discuss.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The reason I put this out is you had in the staff report put an article that I had written in the Dana Adobe, and there was not attribution to all of the bullet points.
Is there an echo going on or something? Okay, go ahead.
There was not attribution to all the bullet points I had in that article, because they were edited out by the newspaper. So what I'm giving you here is a footnoted copy of that article, and in it I have footnoted the three areas where I talked about seawater intrusion, and I have told where the source of that information was from. The first one was you are susceptible to seawater intrusion if you're next to the ocean, and that came from the DWR, and the citation is in the footnote. The second one says seawater intrusion has been and is continuing in Los Osos. That's in the report by the ISJ group, which you can see in that footnote. The third one, which more pertains to you, talks about seawater intrusion in Oceano that occurred in May and October of 2009. I say occurred. I didn't say is occurring or still exists. If you read the footnote down below, it refers to the NMM or NCMA annual reports in 2009 and 2010, where the seawater intrusion is described in detail. 2009, they described the seawater intrusion and the suggested methods to combat it. 2010, they talk about how the success of the seawater intrusion combating, and that was the backing off of the pumping, getting more state water and Lopez water, and reducing your pumping from the wells that are closer to the ocean. So those issues are not misinformation, they are information. The second thing that in your package is an article from the Santa Maria Times from 2009. It talks about Grover City or Grover Beach, describing seawater intrusion, and you can read that in your leisure. The third one is a series of letters that you wrote, not you, but your predecessors wrote, to the county saying you had seawater intrusion, you wanted to back off on your freshwater pumping and get more state water to combat it. This letter was written by your district.
Mr. Eby, we're at time, please. Thank you.
And three other agencies, as you can see. So the information is not information misinformation. It is information that originated from you and other viable sources.
Thank you, sir.
Next we have Mr. Zalmaler.
There was a lot of good information put forward tonight concerning the water needs of our neighbors, the water availability of Oceano. Since I was an applicant to be a director on the board, and I plan on running next November in the election for directors, I made a point of trying to study the water issue. I got threatened with arrest. I got denied access to public records. And in fact, I did get arrested for asking for information related to the water. So I wish I had more information coming into this discussion. I tried, but let me make some observations. I do feel intense empathy for a resident in Napomo that comes forward and says that it's going to cost $1,550 for a 1,000-acre feet. I believe that was the cost. Am I right on that?
Per acre foot.
$1,550 per acre feet. On the other hand, you have to look at what is causing that need for water, that intense need on the Mesa. And the question is, are the large 1,000-home developments that are being put in by a couple of developers, did they really have the foresight when they put in those large developments of where they were going to get their water from, the quality and the amount of the water that the residents of those houses were going to need and use? So, you know, where is the responsibility of the developers on this? And where is the responsibility of the board members in each community in deciding to allow that type of development to occur? So in trying to answer the questions, how to distribute this water, how to conserve it, how to maintain it, I looked, my attempt as just one person was to look over a period of years in the public documents that Oceano has. There are competing reports. Seawater, yes. Seawater, no. You know, what is our water need at build out? That varies depending on the report and the year. So I guess in trying to keep this short, I would really encourage access for the public that wants to study this issue to be given the records to be able to study the issue.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Yeah, we have Karen White last week.
Karen White, 1566 Hiawatha Lane, Halcyon. I have the same dog in this fight that you guys do, because Halcyon gets her water from the same little aquifers that Oceana does. And I have a personal well, so I really have a dog in the fight. And I very much want to support Tom's idea about the letter, because facts are facts. There is an undeniable fact that a water well, which nobody really proved was contaminated or not. They said it looks dirty, but there's no absolute proof that there was not saltwater intrusion in that well on that day. But I also want to remind Napomo, and Mr. Searcy, you probably know more about it than I do, but there was a time when state water was available, and I do believe that people criticized Oceano for getting it, and Napomo said they didn't need it. And I think the water that Napomo buys now from wherever they get it, including from Santa Maria, in 20 years will be really, really cheap. Because in California, whiskey's for drinking and water is only for fighting over. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
We have no other comments. I want to make one other clarification.
Sure.
I keep mentioning the Northern Cities Management Association, and that is us, AG, Grover, Pismo, and that's our management group. Napomo belongs to what they call an NMA, which is Napomo Mesa Management Group or Association. And that consists of NCSD, Trilogy Water, Gold State Water. Ed, who else is it? Rural Water and ConocoPhillips. And because of the Santa Maria groundwater legislation or judge's decision, we are held in our group and they're held in their group. Now, on some things we do confer with, and one of them is recycled water, right, that we're starting to swap notes on, and but the two don't meet because of the deal of the lawsuit. And so, you know, that's, they have theirs, we have ours, and that's why I said we really don't have a dog in this fight, and we are restricted by law to not take a position either way on their situation.
Could I have you restate your recommendation again, Tom?
I recommend that we put out a release that says that, yes, there was seawater intrusion at this time period, but we had not had any seawater intrusion since.
Any board comment?
What I'd like clarity on is, okay, we want to state in the letter that, yes, we had seawater intrusion. However, throughout the discussion this evening, I've heard characteristics of seawater.
That was a bad choice of words on my field.
And susceptible. We have no proof.
I'm basically just saying we're going to quote what's in the NCMA.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to go by, but we're going to say it happened in 2009 and there have been no evidence of it since.
And can I ask you, the letter that went from the board, did it say that we had?
Oh, yeah, you got a copy of it in your board.
Okay, it actually said that we had, not the characteristics, but the report said characteristics and the board said we had seawater intrusion.
Based on the engineer's report. I have a question. Relevance of the letter.
Well, let me finish it. It said, recent water quality analysis from the deeper zones of this sensory well bear the chemical signatures of seawater intrusion. These chemical signatures were discovered to be in an elevated state in May of 2009 and dramatically elevated state in August of 2009. In addition, groundwater elevations near or some were below sea level in the vicinity of the sensory well. because of this potential threat of groundwater quality, the Northern Sitters Management Group, ta-da. Mm-hmm. So we had the signature at that time, and we haven't had it since, and there's tons of data that supports that.
Okay, and I understand that it was a one-time, basically anomaly. However, it really, I'm very unsettled that we have something coming from the board that just flat out just said that we had it, and now we have to come behind it and make it look good. And
I'm going to reference what Mr. Eby said. He submitted us something to the Adobe Press, and they cut out certain salient points that he was trying to make. That's all happened to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is you got the game of telephone going where I say something to Molly, she says it to you. By the time it gets to Carol Ann, I like to stand on the roof and crow, right? So that's kind of what's happened, and it's all dogpiled. And so I took it back to ground one, and that's why it took me a while to find all this information. Once I got it, and then I did lots of phone interviews with all the hydrologists involved and did a lot of reading and a lot of studying. And, you know, we are part of a group that had the foresight to get the supplemental water.
Yes.
We are part of a group that has the foresight to continue to monitor our water quality. And, yes, we spend the money, but where we have been delinquent in other things in this district through the, as Mrs. White said, through the deal, Oceano made a lot of the right moves.
Yes.
And we need to be, that's what we want to put out there. And like I said, their fight is their fight. We really don't have a dog in it.
And I do agree with that. I just think what's happening now is I'm exercising my frustration in the situation. I agree wholeheartedly with what you have recommended, but it's so, you know, after the fact. But it's where we are.
I know. I brought up something earlier in this meeting.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'm actually more upset about that. I'm still looking for those public facilities.
Yeah,
I know they're here. I just haven't found them yet. And to me, that's more alarming.
You know, this is where I'm kind of stuck on it. Is I'm not even sure we would be, you know, going through this if Napomo wasn't having their water, their growth problems right now. And so
we know that.
You say that we don't have a dog in the fight, right? But, you know, it's nested in with Napomo's water problems, which, you know, it's been a weird neighborly relationship. So are we or aren't we? Because I'm feeling like, no, there's something else going on here. Why are we putting so much effort into something that happened 3 years ago? The train has done left the station. The water has gone through our sewer systems already. You know, everybody got surplus water off the saltwater threat. And so why are we back here again? It has to be pointing up the hill. So, either put the game on the table, and so we're all in it, understand what's going on, or I don't understand why we're doing this letter right now, unless it's because of what's going on up at the hill. And I see people in the audience going like this. So that tells me we do have a dog in the fight, and what is the issue here? Somebody, please.
I'm going to have to refer to our NCMA council with Molly before we do this, because if you remember when I first stepped into this seat, and I am a rapist. And some of the people in this room, 90 to 100 days before I said that, I attended a meeting and I brought some points up. And then a week after I was here, somebody sent out an email and quoted me as if I said it yesterday, and I had 7 attorneys jump all over me, thanks to some of the people in this room, for taking an adversarial position. And that's, we are legally, because of that Santa Maria groundwater thing, to mind Oceano's business and there to mind their business.
And you know what? Quite frankly, I think that you have done an excellent job at separating it. And I'm not so sure in living in one geographic area and managing another, right? And then having to deal with the politics. As an individual, I think that you've been very, very professional and fair in every act. What I don't understand is if the northern cities want us, and I'm not even sure who we would send the letter to. I think I'm pretty clear who would benefit from it, but I'm not sure why we're doing it at this point, unless it's strictly because of the politics on the Hill.
It's not all the politics. It does stem from the Santa Maria groundwater litigation and the requirements imposed by the settlement and by the court. And those will impact the northern cities. What Nipomo does, and there are certain obligations down that way, what they do will impact us, and how they comply with their requirements or not comply, I think, is kind of the present problem that our group is concerned about non-compliance, which will fall back on our ability to comply with terms of the settlement. And I think that's where this all started. It's probably gotten kind of blown out of proportion and taken some tentacles off track a little bit. But the initial concerns came from the compliance with the court's order in the settlement agreement way back when.
And what was the court's order besides sustain the gentleman in the northern cities, right? Continue the dialogue. You know,
there's lifelong
litigation.
No, there's specific requirements for providing water and procuring water.
Right.
And they were supposed to apparently, and I don't know all the details. It's a complex and multi-year, multi-party litigation, but there were requirements about procuring and providing water.
Okay, so back to the letter. Is it something that is required?
Well, no. What triggered this was you gave me the assignment to go forward and pull this information together because you were tired of going to a meeting and having somebody walk up to you and say, well, there's seawater intrusion in Oceano.
Right.
You were tired of it coming out on the Planning Commission because somebody called you and said that.
We've got
numerous complaints about the NCSD's ad that they sent out to everybody showing is in a four-color picture that there's seawater intrusion in Oceano because it's interpreted that it's happening now, and it's not. And so you requested of me to go pull this together and do the history, and that's what I'm doing. And what I'm recommending is we put a letter or a press release out that says this is Oceano's deal. I don't take direction from Mr. Eby and Mr. Harrison and their NCSD board. I take it from you. How they solve their supplemental water issue that the judge told them to go solve, that's their issue. It does have overall effects. And in a perfect world, we would have this great regional water group that is proactive and does a lot of things. But you sit on the rack. There's 39 members there. How much stuff do you guys actually get done in a time period?
Not much.
So you're trying to make a perfect world scenario, and what I'm trying to do is we're done with this. This is what happened, and we're going forward.
Right, and you're trying to put it to bed, and I'm with you on that. But I don't understand how these two groups got involved with that.
Well,
and it was me who came to you and said, yes, please, if you can stop this rumor from happening, and you've done everything you can, you've thrown everything to it. But I don't understand how these groups show up on our business. I don't see how the two come together.
I think
I understand what you've done. You've done exactly what we've asked you as a board. I don't understand.
I believe Director Guerrero was part of that as well.
That's true. I was part of that.
I believe that in a perfect world, the Nipomo Services District, since they know this was an anomaly and they know that there is no seawater intrusion, would put out a statement saying that, because those are the facts. And that would clear that up.
It would be gone.
It's on their website.
Well, I don't care where it is. We have the facts. It was a one-time thing, an anomaly, and you know that it's not factual now. Make a statement.
The chair of RAC, Mike Wynn, almost opens up every RAC meeting with announcements from it. You know, so...
And it would be over.
Again,
it would be over for all of us.
We asked him to do. So I don't understand.
Okay, well, I want to redirect you back. We're about Oceano's business. We can't
right,
tell
and that is our business
we
right
can't
here.
Tell Napomo what to
well,
do.
No, I'm saying in a perfect world, in a perfect scenario, that would be the course to take.
I have one last public comment that we need to address.
And who was that?
Giselle Mailer.
She already had public comment.
She already spoke on the
it's
issue.
On, she has a chance to comment on this. Please.
A new issue on what item?
It's a different point.
It's an item?
I don't think
it's an item.
We're still on the same agenda item. I don't think she can.
You raised a new issue that concerns the allocation of water and the groundwater litigation.
No, this is gorgeous. Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Okay, I just like to...
I'd like to object.
Like I said, I've been fortunate enough to be involved with Oceano's water, and I agree with Tom. I think this is something that we need to put out. Now, the other issues with Napomo, and there is still a few issues within our own zone, Zone 3. There's a gentleman's agreement, and it has to be where at some point all of us look for that supplemental water so these issues don't come up. But what I see in it, and I've been fortunate enough to go out throughout California and see what happened to smaller districts that turned into the mud up in San Jose and the big, huge water districts. You know, 75% of their water is reclaimed. And we're not even... That's what's happening here. I beat the drum the last time I was on the board for reclamation water. And that's what needs to happen. If they're looking for that supplemental water, you start reusing your resource, and you go to reclaim water. It's phenomenal how much water that can be reclaimed.
That's actually something that's being looked at the sanitation district right
well,
now to see whether or not it's viable.
And I brought that to the sanitation district over 10 years ago. And, I mean, John Wallace can chase it around all he wants.
There is a recycled deal, and Napomo is also looking at doing recycled at their place too.
But we can't direct
but
them.
We're not directing
right,
them. That's their issue.
That.
But I just say, you know, this it not only just needs to happen in Napomo, it needs to happen here.
So I think the discussion now. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I see it. But I think, I think we're on the right track of releasing this kind of information out. I think Tom did a great job on it. And, we're going to have to take it to on our side. You know, I think we should start hammering that.
Tom, is there a way that we can put the letter out right and try to stay as far away from that hill as possible and let them work through their stuff?
I think if we say that allows them to go do their deal, it puts clarification to the mix.
And
the goal is to eliminate all the hearsay evidence so projects aren't declined because of seawater intrusion in the ocean.
Right. If we can do that, I'm fine with it. So I just don't want to...
I see we have three options. One is we can do nothing. Second is we can do a letter pursuant to your recommendation, Director, Mr. Gieslin. And the third is to... I forgot my... I didn't take any notes. It's getting late. We haven't gotten this late in a long time.
I got to explain to the crowd that we haven't had a meeting go past 7:30 in five or six meetings. So
yeah, I'm turning into a pumpkin. So we can do nothing, or we can have a motion, and so I'll entertain a motion on either one of those.
Well, I'll move that we go with staff's recommendation and put that press release out.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. It's been moved by Director Searcy, seconded by Director Hurdle. Can I get a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Is there any abstains? Okay. Appears to pass 4-0.
Okay. We'll generate a review by council, and at the next meeting, I'll have it for your review before we send it out.
Moving to item number 11A, utility items. Will serve. APN 061-093-039.
Chairman Guerrero, this is, if you remember, State Parks came to us before. They're redoing the entry there, and there's two APN numbers there, and this is actually the same project, but they are putting it in, so this is a paperwork cleanup. So I move that you approve it.
Is there any public comment on this?
No.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll still move.
On the State Parks, then.
Will serve.
Well, State Parks will serve. Okay. Are you seconding?
Yes, second.
Okay. You got to get a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes 4-0.
Next, we have a project, the Lucas. They're converting a storage area to a guest home. Fire planning and staff has reviewed it. We recommend approval.
Okay. I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Rick's out the door. There you go.
Oh.
Aye. I heard you.
What's he doing?
I think we'll. Can we count him as an abstain? We have a 3 votes. We have him in quorum. Director Searcy, we just had a vote on item number 11B.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The pass is 4-0. Fee letters, none. Is 12 now the closed session, or are we on to public comment?
No, there's no closed session.
Okay, thank you. Item number 13, public comment.
Public comment. Cheryl Henson.
All right. Ms. Henson?
Cheryl Henson, I just wanted to thank the board tonight for your all the work you've done, and I think the board is really working wonderfully together, and I want to thank Tom. And I'm sorry if I've contributed to your long meeting, but however, I did have some questions, and I did appreciate the way they were explained to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Henson. And you know how to reach me.
We have one more, Mr. Jim Harrison.
Mr. Harrison? Good evening, sir.
Hey, my name is Jim Harrison. I am the president of the Pullman Community Service District, if anyone didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
The thing I want to say is I think that Tom did a great job tonight. The other thing is, if you guys would go to our website, you would see that on the website it specifically indicates that there was a one-time event and that you no longer have a problem. And that's the information we've been giving out. The information we've been doing something else is really someone else's opinion of what we're doing. But go to our website, take a look at it, and it will tell you specifically, it says that there was a one-time event and that you no longer have that problem. It also says, you know, I think it says something about the rain, massive rains and stuff like that has assisted in water, and that you guys did the right thing by cutting back, and because you had the ability to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you guys have 3 sources of water, right, and the Pullman only has one.
We worked very hard for those 3 sources.
Yes, you did, and I'll
we
tell you,
paid dearly.
I'll tell you right up front, the Pullman made a mistake 20 years ago. But you can't, and right now they'll tell you get water out of the pipeline, do this, do that. But I can tell you that we have spent over $1.5 million trying to figure out how to get consultants. If we were to get water on the pipeline to turn out this at the Pomo, it would cost us $45,000 an acre foot.
Well, you know, excuse me, sir, with all due respect.
Can you your microphone, Mary?
You know, you're talking to a community that has paid for state water since its inception, okay? Our job was to diversify our water source. As a very poor community, we have diversified better than any of the communities that overbuilt their resources. So I respect what you say, but I also, too, sit on that RAC committee and have listened to Mike Wynn repeatedly state and emphasize the saltwater intrusion in Oceano. So it has been harmful to us, and I'm very, very sorry for your hardships, but you're talking to a community that has sucked it up and paid for it from day one.
And I certainly appreciate that. All I'm saying is, if you hear someone say that we get the water there cheaper, they're wrong. The water from Santa Maria is the cheapest, and we've looked at about 15 different ways to get it. Thank you very much.
Just
thank
one
you.
Question, Mr. Harrison. What's your website address you were mentioning? If you were 15, you'd know this. But
yes, I know. If I were 15, I would know that right off the top of my head.
NCSD.org.
Is it NCSD? Okay, Miss.
NCSD.org.
Okay.
I don't know. It's NCSD something, but if you will send me.
Sure. I was just going
to
say for the community.
That information to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you so much.
Moving on to item number 14. Or is that the end of the public comment? Tom?
We have no more.
Okay. Item number 14, board member discussion. Hearing none.